In the healthcare system of America, people with mental health challenges are not treated equally based on their race, sex, and socioeconomic status. Mental health is extremely stigmatized, often leaving people suffering, isolated, and suicidal. This is the Diary of a Mad Black Man, a podcast about my life with mental health challenges. This is my story.
Hey y'all, what's up? So today is today is February the 11th, 2023, and since I was on the mic again over here in my diary, a lot has transpired, you know? Whew, I am laying in bed. I've been asleep most of the day. I didn't sleep at all last night. I've just been up. And a lot happened today. I'll probably get into that at some point in this episode. But I kind of want to just get some things off my chest, out of my body. Especially since my last diary entry. Because I've been able to reflect and understand that A, nobody's coming to save me. B, I can barely save myself most days. So how can I have that expectation of somebody else? And I do still have an opportunity to change my life, to turn things around. And honestly, this is all the result of my own lack of care about my own life, if I'm honest. Like, the whole reason why I even ended up in the situation, getting evicted, losing my apartment, losing everything, is because I truly did not give a fuck if I lived or died anymore. And another reason why I just left all my stuff there, didn't even try to give me anything, because I didn't give a fuck. Like, I just did not care. And even still, to this day, like, there's still a certain degree of, if I don't wake up tomorrow, you know, I won't be that upset about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just my truth, you know what I'm saying? And it's so difficult to admit that, because I do find joy, I do find happiness in being a creative. More recently, like, for example, like on my little TikTok, listen at me just downplaying my own shit, my little TikTok. Recently on my big ass motherfucking TikTok that I'm making millions of motherfucking dollars on, you know, I've been like just doing it, just like putting myself out there, but it's also been like helping with my anxiety, it's definitely helping with my depression, because one thing about it, two things for sure, a good laugh, baby, a good laugh will do the soul so fucking good, you know what I'm saying? And that's really where a lot of my, my energy has been I've been intentionally trying to focus my energy on that. I also want to say that my Clubhouse community, specifically the community of people that I built on Clubhouse, has been absolutely exactly what I needed. There have been times when I've gotten on Clubhouse and I've gone into rooms, gratitude rooms. Big shout out to the Mendable family, my Mendable family, the Mendable rooms that happen every Monday and Thursday, usually at 2 o'clock Central, well, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central time. These rooms are filled with people from all over the world. Literally all over the world. Like, shout out to Doug in the Windy City, somebody who I met through this app as well, somebody who I hope to meet one day. You know, he talks about one of the things that just reminds me of what a global platform this is, when they say the time zones that it starts at. It's like 11 o'clock in India, you know, some like 8 o'clock in the UK, was like 2 p.m. Central. I don't even know all the time zones, but like, it's a reminder that I'm on a global platform. And more so recently, like, I've been discovering that there are a lot of people just like me. There's so many people on the face of this earth that are searching for happiness within themselves. There are so many people who, like me, have the understanding that life is fucking hard as fuck. And whoever the fuck lied to us and said this shit gets better as we get older was fucking lying to us. Because this shit ain't getting no better. But I've also realized that you cannot have what many people... Oh my God, I'll be yawning like a motherfucker. I took some melatonin today because, bitch, I was up for like 36 hours. And I was like, bitch, you're gonna have a heart attack if you don't get some fucking sleep. So that's another reason why I'm yawning. Anyway. But yeah, there's like people all over the world like dealing with so much mental anguish, so much trauma, so much just desire to die. Like, this ideation shit is much, much, much more common than I think the average person wants to admit. And more so recently, I've rediscovered I am not an average motherfucker. I'm not an ordinary type of bitch. I want to live an extraordinary life. I want to live and I want to thrive. I was on Twitter Spaces the other day and I was reminded that I have a life path number 5. And it's something that I'm going to actually pull up on my phone real quick and just share with you guys because it applies to my life so fucking well. Where the fuck is my Safari at? Because like when I read this, shout out to my guy Swirly. Life path, hold on. Life path 5. Now y'all know, too, that my diary entries, this podcast, is really going back to its essence. I don't even know how I'm going to be able to bring a guest on this show again. I don't do this for the plays, for the downloads, for any of that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's really back to what it once was when it started, which is my space just to get shit off my chest. So anyway, so I was on Twitter Spaces, and long story short, met this amazing guy named Swirly, and he's really into like the cosmos and the energies and the frequencies and the higher vibrational things in life. Anyway, so my life path number is 5, and this is according to Bustle.com. There's plenty of websites out there that you go out there and find your life number, and it'll help you kind of understand a little bit more about yourself. But it says that you're resourceful, ambitious, and extremely focused on your objectives. Putting all your heart into your and energy into your work and personal projects. Because of your changing nature, you tend to be unpredictable and find it hard at times to commit to something at the slightest sign of boredom. Which, there's so much information out here that talks about, you know, what this means, what it can be. But I also remember that when I initially found out about it was that there's this sense of adventure that I always like. Like, for example, I'm pulling this other explanation about what Life Path 5 means. It says you're a dynamic force. The key to your personality is freedom. The person with a 5 life path loves travel, adventure, variety, and meeting new people. You possess the curiosity of a cat and long to experience all of life. You love to be involved in several things at the same time, as long as you are not tied down to any one area. You like change, new things, new horizons. You make friends easily. Your personality is upbeat and often inspiring, attracting people from all walks of life. That's me, my nigga. Like, yeah, I'm an emotional ass Pisces. You know, I've been through a lot of trauma and shit. You know, I'm a black man in America, somewhere in the queer spectrum, and it's just like all this other extra shit that, you know, kind of complicates that. But that's really me. Like, I love the travel, I love adventure. And I realized lately that, my nigga, I've been on one hell of a fucking adventure. This thing called life has been one hell of a fucking adventure for me. And, you know, speaking to what I've been experiencing lately, it's just like, okay, all right, so if this is what life is really about to give, then let's just ride this motherfucker the best that we can, you know, because like I said, like, you know, shout out to my Mendemo and my Clubhouse family, because there's so many people that are dealing with pain, with hurt, and, you know, trauma and drama from their baby mamas and families and brothers and sisters and, you know, the loved ones that they may have. And I think that something I've experienced lately, especially being up in Chicago, around family, I was able to see myself, bro. Like, I was at my cousin's house one time, and I don't even know if my auntie, like, realized what she said and, like, how it impacted me. Like, I did something. I was in the kitchen doing something. I don't even remember what I was doing. She was like, oh, my God, you look just like your daddy. And I was like, like, I don't even know if she realized, like, how rare, like, I don't even know if anybody's ever, like, I could definitely count on one hand how many times somebody has ever said that to me. Like, people have always told me I look like my dad. Obviously, I look at pictures. I look like this nigga hooked me right out of his motherfucking mouth. But in my behaviors, in my mannerisms, and just to have that reminder, like, I am somebody's child. I do have a father. Even though I didn't grow up with him, he was taken from this earth very young. But I also have to realize, like, I'm literally breaking a lot of generational curses. I'm actually a black man in America that lives to the age of 33, which, believe it or not, it's kind of rare. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think about a lot of the niggas that I grew up with. I think about a lot of the friends that I used to have, you know, in my middle school years, high school years, that, shit, I know niggas that I used to literally go to their house with their mom and, you know, be all up in their shit. These niggas done stab their mom. People that I know been in jail for murder, like all types of shit. You know what I'm saying? So when I hear a motherfucker like my mom, you know, we recently had our last and ultimate fallout. Like, I don't know how I'm going to ever speak to this woman again in my life, because she just, and I don't want to, like, let me just start off by saying this. I love my mom dearly, but I love her so much. And what I've had to discover is that I love myself more. So I got to leave you at a distance. And so with everything that I'm doing now in my life, ain't nobody helping me do nothing, but everybody, it seems like my mom is the only person that has something to say about me being an adult entertainer, right? I literally created a separate Instagram account so that way I can advertise about what it is that I do and kind of more so just be myself a little bit more in a different light. And you're watching this Instagram account. You're sending me DMs to this other Instagram account that I'm posting about my OnlyFans on. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why is you here? What is your purpose? You know what I'm saying? And that is something that recently happened, you know, after this whole cyanide hospital thing and just everything I've been dealing with lately. And it fucked me up in the head because I want to say the message says something along the line. Matter of, I'm not even going to pull that shit up because it's just going to send me somewhere and I ain't got time for that. But it's like, I've been told you, your opinion about how I eat, about how I pay my phone bill, about how I literally take care of myself is null and void because you're not helping me do shit. You're not even being the kind of mother that I need in my life right now. And unfortunately, and I've had to realize this about a lot of my family members, okay, you know, especially, you know, on my dad's side, distant family members that, you know, now I know why you a distant family member. You know what I'm saying? I went over to one of my aunt's house around the, was it the holidays? I don't know. We went over there, but yeah, it was over the holidays or whatever. And so, mind you, I met all you motherfuckers over 10 years ago, right? On top of that, it's not my fault that my grandma and my aunt decided to not tell none of y'all motherfuckers about me. Because my grandma and my auntie knew about me from a child, from the age of one. I remember meeting my auntie at like the age of 7, okay? And ain't none one of y'all, you know, told nobody in the family that, hey, James got another son out here. So when I came around y'all at like the age of 19, 20, and, you know, I was in college at the time. You know, I'm still just trying to figure myself out at the time. But I was also a boss-ass nigga, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't really... I was a different type of young black man that they were accustomed to dealing with. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, I'd say that I walk into my auntie's house and this lady, like, oh my God, like, I could just tell, like, she was, like, kind of taken back to see me. You know what I'm saying? But this is also an auntie that I know don't really fuck with me like that. Like, you're one of the family members that I met on my dad's side that y'all don't really fuck with me like that. A, because y'all know I'm gay. B, because y'all, even before I came out as gay, queer, whatever, y'all weren't fucking with me like that. Like I'm just going to keep it a band. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why we don't have a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So when I walk into your house with your husband and all your close people, all your sisters around, you know what I'm saying? And then you put me on blast, like, so what is it that you do? Like, tell me about yourself. Like, and then you make the comment, well, I mean, I don't know him. I didn't grow up around him. Like I didn't know nothing about him. Lady, with all due respect, that's your choice. You chose that. Because for the past 10 years, we could have been best friends. Because my other auntie that's sitting over there, she know me very well. And my other auntie that's sitting over there, she know me even better. Okay? And we all met around the same fucking time. So let's not motherfucking try that up in here today. Because that's really the energy that I was feeling in that moment. Okay? Because, like, it just seems like I'm constantly having to bite my tongue around my family, from my mama to these distant motherfuckers that don't give a fuck. If I was to die, bitch, you probably wouldn't even come to my funeral. Let's just go ahead and keep it a band at that. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like, I've also had to just really sit with myself and accept the fact that some people are just going to be relatives. Some people that I want to be family don't want to be family with me. And the sooner that I can get to a place of accepting and moving in that, I can allow my real family to start to come around. Because my real family, like my aunt, like one of my aunties, bro, and my cousin, psh, bro, that's family. Family is, I call you, I say, look, I'm in the city, where you at, send me your address, I'm coming to pick you up. I'm coming to make sure you good, make sure you ate, make sure you alright. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's family. Like, where I'm at right now, staying with my best friend from high school, this is family. This is what it, and it's, and it feels foreign, kind of, because for the past 10, 13 years, I've been out here in the world by myself. I moved away from my family in 2013. So it's literally coming up on like the 10-year anniversary that I was just like, I'm gonna end up in a psych ward again. Trying to people please, trying to move how y'all want me to move, letting y'all's opinions influence how I feel about myself. Like, I can't do that. I gotta live this life for me. And if you don't rock with it, you don't rock with it. That's fine. Because at the end of the day, even if you overtly say out your mouth how you feel, energy never lies. Energy never lies. You know what I'm saying? I've even been around another auntie that I'm going to tell y'all about. Now, I know I ain't going to say no names because y'all is a different breed of people. Like, the things that I've just discovered about my family, like, for example, I'm going to say this too. Keep it a band. A lot of y'all know who killed my father. a lot of y'all have hints or ideas on what happened to my dad, and y'all know something about the way. And I'ma just stay in my place. I don't even want to get caught up with y'all bullshit because I know how y'all really are at the core and at the essence of your being. And a lot of y'all aren't happy. A lot of y'all are just out here trying to survive just like me. And y'all see me, you just like, oh, this, I don't know this nigga. Like, this dude was, you know, my cousin that died, or nephew that was killed 32 years ago. This is some son that he had with some chick that we didn't even know about. So there's really no reason for y'all to love me like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel that shit. You know what I'm saying? I feel a difference between certain family members, or let me not say that, certain relatives and family members. You know what I'm saying? And I had to really face a lot of that coming out of the situation and just being in Chicago and just even where I'm at right now, because it's like, yo, even today, like, I was going to the gym. I had a little fender bender. Well, it wasn't a fender bender. I'm sitting in the car talking to my homeboy, and this chick pulls in, scrapes the side of my homegirl's car, right? And so we had to call the police, get a police report, all that extra bullshit. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of damage, but it was just a situation that happened. And the reality of my life really hit me within this moment, because I didn't have my ID on me. And so it wasn't a big deal to get the police report, but when I got the police report back that I was going to take to my homegirl, I was like, hold up, this got my old Illinois driver's license information on there. My old, like, it has my grandma's address on there from when I used to stay with her. And he was like, and in the midst of just talking to the officer, like, I was literally stuck when he asked me this question. He was like, oh, so that's not your current address, blah, blah, blah. So they, and the reason why we went back over there and was dealing with this situation is because in the midst of it all, I found a picture of my ID, my actual driver's license. And me just being the nervous nigga dealing with the police that I was, I was like, let me just show them my ID just so that way they could, like, just know I'm legit. I don't know, like, anytime I get around dealing with the police, bitch, I'd just be, like, I don't know. I don't be in my right headspace dealing with the cops, because, bitch, it's 2023 in America and the police be shooting niggas. Anyway, the officer asked me, he's like, okay, so what's your current address? And I was dumb. Like, it was literally like, you know those moments where, like, there's a meme of, I don't know, I want to say, was it America's Next America's Got Talent or something like that? But there's a meme that came to mind with that dude and P. Diddy, where they were, like, just staring at each other. Like, he's looking at Diddy, Diddy's looking at him, he's looking at Diddy, Diddy's looking at him. And I'm just sitting there like, he was like, you could just look at your driver's license. What's the address on your driver's license? And I was like, oh yeah, let me pull that up. Because, bitch, I'm like, where's my home? Where do I live? And so, I've said all that to say that I really gotta watch who I'm around. I really gotta watch who I share space with. I really gotta understand the difference between what I can control and what I can't control. I was on the Clubhouse room the other day, and I forgot who said this, but they reminded me that there's people, things, and places are generally things that you have no control over, especially when it comes to people, right? Because you also got to understand, a lot of people are dealing with their own traumas, their own mental issues, their own anxieties, their own struggles just living in this world that we all live in, right? But what I can control is the places that I show up to, the people that I show up for, and the people that I allow around me, and the people that I allow around me to feel my energy, right? And no matter what my situation is, I've made a commitment to not give up on life, okay? I recently left Chicago because Chicago was, I was going to end up killing myself up there. Not even going to lie. I was going to kill myself somewhere in Chicago. Like, shortly after that last recording, like, I literally was just out and gone all day because I didn't want to go back to my homegirl's house that I was staying with because I never fully felt comfortable there. You know what I'm saying? It was clearly stated that this is temporary. You can't stay here forever. You know what I'm saying? So I never even allowed myself to get comfortable being in that space. And I ultimately had to leave because I was fucking her shit up. Not even gonna lie. I don't know what the fuck it was. I felt like a fucking 5-year-old kid, always dropping something, breaking something, doing some dumb shit. Like, I was wrong in a lot of things. Like, I guess there were some nights I would forget to lock the door and all that kind of shit. Like, I want to say I set the coffee, a teapot on her countertop one time, not realizing, just in the midst of, like, I want to say, like, 6 o'clock in the morning or some shit like that, I was making some tea, not realizing I burnt a fucking thing in her countertop type shit. So I was fucking up her shit. But I also got to the point where I started to feel like I was living with my mama. It was just a reminder that, like, when you're living with somebody and you know this is not your home, your space, which is something my mama used to do all the time. This is my house. I did this. This is my shit. I pay these bills. Yada, yada, yada. Like, that same kind of energy is what I was feeling. I'm not going to say same. It was a similar energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know this ain't my home. This ain't my shit. This ain't my bed. This ain't my room. This ain't my bathroom. None of this shit is in here. So you got to, nigga, like, don't come in here. You ain't got no room to say shit about nothing. You know what I'm saying? If it's cold in this bitch, nigga, you barely had the right to turn the motherfucking heat on. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm saying all that to say, moving forward, I now have to continually remind myself that what I can control is what I can control. And I have to remind myself that one of those things is the people I show up for, I'm around, the places and things I allow into my space. But other than that, and maybe outside of this podcast, that's none of my business. Why this person that's my relative don't want to fuck with me, ain't called me, ain't checked on me, probably don't give a fuck if I live or if I'm, because if you really care, if you listen to this podcast or if you know anything about me, you know I deal with suicide ideation, right? Yeah, I know I'm going through a lot of shit right now, right? So to me, you not checking on me is a reminder that you checking on me doesn't matter. I need to check on myself first. I need to get myself together first. And I think that I've always kind of wanted and had this desire for family. I'm a family-oriented person. That's the whole reason why, you know, initially in college, I wanted to be a teacher. You know, I wanted to be a community activist. You know, I had my girl at the time. She said we was going to have 2 to 3, baby. I was going to try and shoot that club up at least 5 to 6 times. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted a big family because I want the experience of having an abundance of love around all the time. Like, there are some people who, I mean, and everybody's family has their own drama and shit like that. But the fact that, like, I go to some families' households, like, over the years, on the holidays, and you walk in that bitch, and it's, like, 30, 40 motherfuckers deep in that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was this one time I went, I was up in Chicago, and I went up to one of my cousin's house, and it's, like, 30, 40 of us in this motherfucker, and we all family. Like, these are all my cousins. Like, this is family, bro. And it was just, like, it was kind of overwhelming for me because I'm like, yo, this is what I've always wanted to desire, but I don't know these people, like, and I'm trying to, like, calm my own anxieties right now. Like, I'm trying not to let my own personal shit that I got going on really interfere with my life, you know what I'm saying? That's why I be getting fucked up and passing out somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, because there's just be a lot going on in my brain. Even if I'm just sitting there not saying shit, my brain is moving a million miles a second. And so, at this stage of life, with my birthday being 9 days away, it's going to be the 7-year anniversary of my grandmother's passing. This is going to be chapter 33 for me. 33 rotations around the sun. And I'm realizing that it's really me, God and the universe in this thing. Like, that's it. And one of my favorite aunties always used to say that. She was like, boy, let me tell you something. It's been me and God since 1992. Or something. I forget exactly what she said, but I love auntie. If she ever hears this, you know what I'm talking about.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm going to just say it. That's tough. That's hard.
Like, having faith, like, I think that's one thing about having faith and believing in God and trusting in, you know, your spiritual realm of life. It's like you have to believe in something that you've never seen, you've never touched. It's like you have to believe in something that doesn't exist. And I'm happy that I do. But day to day, like, I just pray that God send me somebody. I mean, hell, you could just send me a cute little dog, too. I'll take one of them, you know, that I could just have. I miss Cody. Oh, my God. My roommate's dog. I love that freaking dog. I need to give me one. But I just need a living companion. Like, that's something I think that would just help so much. Like, because the majority of my, like, years that I felt that I was thriving in college, always had people around me that I felt loved me, whether that was my girl, whether that was my sister that was living together at the time, whether that was the people on campus, you know, some of my mentors and shit like that. Like, I always felt like I was moving around motherfuckers that wanted what's best for me, you know what I'm saying? Was I naive to a lot of motherfuckers that was low-key hating on me and plotting on my downfall? Abso-fucking-lutely. Because I was just this happy-go-lucky, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, let's take over the world. Like, I was just, I remember what happiness really feels like. I was reflecting the other day on one of my favorite fucking years of my life. To this day. Living in Penny Royal, my second year of college, from, I think I was like 20 years old at the time. That year, living in that townhouse, P2 was fucking magical. There was just something so, it was 2009 to 2010. There was something magical about that year in college, that second year in college. It just felt like I had, like, living next door to all your friends, like, or to people that you fuck with. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt like a little, like, community. Like, you just had everything. Like, it just seemed like life was just so amazingly beautiful. And I felt like I could just conquer and do anything in this world. Like, I'm looking to have that back. That feeling of true happiness, of true, I can do whatever the fuck it is I want to do, and can't nothing stop me, and I love me, and I'm an amazing person. Like, I want to feel like that every single day. And I don't want to have to work so hard for it. Like, I feel like happiness should not be this fucking hard to achieve. You know? And I'm looking forward to getting to that space and that place. And yeah, just even everything that happened today is just a reminder that, I mean, I don't blame my mama, none of my relatives, none of my aunties. Like, I don't blame nobody for my situation because I made the choices in my adult life that have landed me here. Like, did nobody ask me to literally check out and give up on finding another job, of stopping? Like, I literally stopped hustling as hard as I wanted to. I just sat back and relied on my OnlyFans. And low-key, I was just, like, not... I was just in a space, like, last year before I lost my crib. When I say I really just didn't give a fuck, like, I didn't give a fuck. And now I'm living with the consequences of not giving a fuck. So, if you don't take anything else away from this, whoever you are around the world, I don't know, whoever, listen to this. One thing you have to do is you have to give a fuck about yourself. You have to give a fuck about your own life. And you have to be active in achieving, doing, moving, and establishing yourself, because, and taking care of yourself, because if ain't nobody else gonna do it, one thing about it, two things for sure, this world and even some of your blood don't give a fuck whether you live or die, whether you homeless in the streets or not. At the end of the day, all they gonna do is talk about you in a group chat. You know what I'm saying? I got so-called friends that, shit, since I left Atlanta, ain't called to check on me. So it's like, do I think that they don't care? No, I don't think it's that. But just being an adult and entering chapter 33, I just realized, and it's just the reality of it, bro. Like, I think that more I start to say it, the more I'll accept it. You're not a priority in other people's lives. You're not a priority to anybody. And that's how I feel. Like, I don't feel like nobody else is every... Like, the only person that I really felt like that at one point was my grandma. And now it's just like, I feel like people deal with me for convenience for the most part. And it's not everybody, because I definitely got some riders. I got some people, my homegirl down in Tampa, my homegirl in Texas. Like, there are definitely some people I know that if I was to call now, they would pull up, bust whatever move they need to be bust, and they'll do what it is that they got to do. But I have to learn to accept the fact that those who I wish, those who I desire that I could make those calls to, those who I wish were really going to be there for me, unfortunately, they're not. And the more I realize that, the more I'll be able to love and appreciate and show my appreciation for those who do. Because I can't keep saying that I don't have family, because I do. I can't keep saying that I don't have nobody that supports me, because I do. These are all lies, because I know that there are people out there that love me, which is also motivating me and encouraging me to get through this chapter into the next. So, I don't know. I've been rambling and talking for 37 minutes and 48 seconds, 49 seconds, and I feel that I've released enough to where I can have a little bit more peace inside my brain. Again, like I said, this season 8, there's no schedule. I don't know when I'm gonna drop another episode, but turn them post notifications on, because, you know, if you want to keep up with this podcast, if it's something that you just found, you just stumbled upon, you just want to listen to one time, that's fine, that's cool too. But I'm also close out and say this. I never started this podcast thinking that it would grow to the level that it's grown. And I'm saying this specifically because I know my mom and some people in my family think, oh, you know, he's doing this for clout and he's sensationalizing his life and telling all his business. Now, look, y'all gotta understand, we come from two different generations. Technically, we are two different breeds of niggas, okay? The way y'all lived y'all life is the way y'all had to live it, okay? Y'all did what y'all had to do. You gotta understand, this world is different now, okay? And I'm glad that I have the luxury to share my story, because every time I've opened my mouth in spaces where I felt safe, in spaces where I felt I could be vulnerable in, specifically like on Clubhouse, like I mentioned earlier, people get it. And the more I focus on the people that get it, the better off I will be. So with all that being said, I am thirsty as fuck. I am hungry as fuck. And I'm going to go take care of my body. And so I would encourage anybody who's listening, anybody who deals with suicidal thoughts, anxiety, depression, because that shit is real. You got to find a way to get it out. You got to find a way to talk about it. It may not always be in a therapist's office because I haven't been in therapy. My therapist ain't hit me up in a while. So it's like, you know, I really just got to figure this shit out on my own because I know that therapy can't fix me. And I'm not against therapy. I'm not saying therapy doesn't help. But there are different ways to get therapy. This is one of my forms of therapy. And I've been learning to cultivate new tools of therapy for myself. Because unfortunately, and I'm going to just say it. Baby, I'm not paying to talk to no motherfucking body right now. And I ain't got my own roof over my head. Shawty, I need to be saving, okay, to get my shit together. You know what I'm saying? This is the part of mental health that people really don't talk about. Yeah, if everybody could afford a therapist, I'm pretty sure more people would be going to therapy. But unfortunately right now, baby, no, I don't have $25. I don't have $10 to give you. That $25, $10 needs to be saved and reserved for something else. Because the way life is happening, and the very limited resources that I have and the people around me have who really fuck with me, yeah, baby, I ain't got time for that. So I'm going to do what I got to do to get by. And that's why, again, I'm going to say this. I know I ain't going to say that person's name no more. So if you see me on the internet doing something strange for a little piece of change, bitch, mind your motherfucking business. Unless you down to motherfucking send me somewhere where you know I get a job that's going to be conducive to my mental health. Or send me some money so I ain't got to be out here doing that shit. But until then, mind your fucking business, okay? Don't send me no more motherfucking DMs because all I'm going to do is just block your ass on whatever platform, whatever, however the message comes. Just like I block these random motherfucking internet trolls. That's basically what you are to me now, an internet troll, because... Anyway, let me go eat and give me something to drink. But I appreciate y'all for listening, tuning in. It's just real life shit, bro. This is my life. And it is what it is. I gotta learn to love it. Each and every day. We gotta fall in love with myself more and more. So, with that being said, yeah.